here, episode 18, Underground Espionage. Tara, how is it going?
It's going great. Thank you, Mike.
You got it a little late this week, and we're posting this immediately after recording, so you are in the moment. Apologies for
it's
our
been a,
tardiness.
It's crazy. Hey, look, crazy we, heck of a week.
Look, we've always said we're our goal is to do Thursday as much as possible, but sometimes the week gets away from us and we put it off Friday, once in a while a Saturday. But you know we'll be here as 99.999% every single week. I think we've only missed 1 week since
we
started this.
Well,
series.
I think it's better to do it today than us trying to have crammed it in yesterday, and we would have been totally distracted, and we couldn't have just like really had time to like ruminate on just the whole experience of Jane Mansfield
yes.
and the wild, wild world of Jane Mansfield. And
yes.
you know, I think giving it that time really made this grow. Also, I ate 3 donuts this week.
And big news.
Yeah. Big news.
Tara ate 3 donuts this week.
I ate 3 donuts. I said I would eat 0 donuts, and I ate 3 donuts. Yeah. And I also ate 5 bags of Cheetos, small bags of Cheetos.
And
I said I would eat no bags of Cheetos.
And you ate bags of Cheetos, and this brought up a really important conversation.
Mm.
And it's something I have felt, but I feel like it's... It is a, you know, it's an unpopular opinion.
Apparently, like my stance on cashews, which I still stand by, they're a blending nut. They are not a solid on their own nut. They need a partner.
There has been some controversy about that.
They need a partner to really shine.
But plain Cheetos, superior to Flamin' Hot. It's not even close.
Not even close. Again, like you get a Flamin' Hot, like you have like a little kibble mix, like Flamin' Hot Cheetos mixed in there. Or if somebody just gives you some Flamin' Hot, maybe if you crumble them up on top of something.
To me, it's that chemically hot.
It doesn't taste natural.
Famously, we are. I'm not a hot sauce guy. All right, sriracha.
Yeah.
That's my limit.
Yeah, I'm not. Well, I mean, I'll eat it. I don't like the, like, why am I trying to challenge myself on new spice levels while I'm consuming food? I just don't feel the need to do that. I like spicy, but I just don't need to, like, push my spice limits. I'd rather taste my food now.
Yeah.
However, Cheetos.
Yeah, great.
And I'm not even trying to disparage the Flamin' Hot Cheetos, but the regular Cheeto is remarkably cheesy and delicious.
Fantastic. I wish I did not have any. I really wish I would have.
I ate all of them.
I was told that I might get some, but they were gone.
I had a bag in my purse for you, and I ate that too. So this is the problem, yes. And, you know, I think this also spawned a really important conversation between us, Mike, and that is that if you're going to go for Dunkin' Donuts, some people shit on them.
I was going to ask you. I was going to bring it up. You go. Tara, go.
The sour cream donut. That's the one I had.
No question. I had
the options. I was purchasing 10 dozen donuts for a variety of people and presenting them. And I said, I will eat none of these donuts and I ate 3. I went for the plain cake. And my new theory about donuts is this. Like, the way, just eat the donut you want first. Don't save yourself. Because the only way that you're going to stop eating donuts is to make yourself sick. And I think that's the way donuts are designed. You eat donuts until you feel sick, and then you're done eating donuts. And I have proven this week.
Yeah.
Because I generally consume 0 donuts, and then I ate the plain cake, and I was like, oh, I could withstand that quite well. I'm having coffee. I think I'll go in for a cronut, and I'm going to have a cronut. And then I ate the cronut, and I was like, oh, I can't eat anything else. I'm super sick. Then I had some sushi. And then after the sushi, I was like, oh, I don't feel sick anymore. I better eat that sour cream donut that I saw. And then I felt sick. And then I stopped eating donuts for the rest of the day.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm a fan, but it's one of those things where I prevent myself from giving myself that option.
Yeah, yeah, you got it.
I am a fan. I would eat one right now if I could.
But this is my donut theory.
If it was here, I would.
My donut theory is eat what you want first because you just will. Yeah. You will continue to eat donuts until you're out of donuts or you are sick. So just make yourself sick so you stop eating donuts, and that's what you should do. My life advice.
I like that advice.
Mm. Oh. Also, an exciting news was shot out of a cannon this morning. I got swatted down. Apparently, Mike does not want to watch face transplant footage in bed when he first wakes up. You know what?
Once in a while, you have a wild card what the Terra news that gets digested immediately upon waking up.
Shot out of a cannon.
It was not what I was in the mood for. It's not, and then honestly, I don't know if I'll ever be in the mood for it.
No, you will never be in the mood for it. I know you. And then I was like reading about hammer murders.
That I'm more in the mood for.
Yeah.
But sometimes not right first thing in the morning. I need to ease it in. Sometimes I am. Look, everyone has different times when they're in the mood for something.
Yeah, I saved the science news for later, but we'll go over that later. But yeah, I know, and you're never going to like facial transplants.
I think
about the, if anybody wants to look into something and you have a high tolerance for facial transplants, the lady whose face was ripped off by the chimpanzee when her friend called and was like, bring a gun, he ripped her face off, like that, she got a face transplant, and it's great, and you can watch the 60 Minutes about it, and it's fantastic.
But much like last week, through you, very in the mood for the last slumber party, this week, as you chose, very in the mood to discuss, and was very in the mood to watch The Wild, Wild World of Jane Mansfield.
I mean, this is such a strange film for so many reasons, yeah. The posthumous release. But did you know, Mike, that there was a book that she co-wrote with Hargitay called Jane Mansfield's Wild, Wild World?
You see a picture of it in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And so I guess I didn't clock with me. I was trying to. It's not super expensive. It's like $150, but I am now trying to find one on eBay, so...
I wonder, I assume there's maybe versions out there, but...
It's not on archive.org, but I think you can rent it on the library site, so I'm going to get it. I kind of regret doing this without having read it, but there you go. I just derailed that wonderful opening you had. You're welcome, Mike. Yeah. Now, where are you going to go from this one?
I don't know.
What are you going to do now? I just gave you a dead-end comment. You got anything else you want to talk about?
And that was
Well,
that.
I have stuff to talk about. So Jane Mansfield was born...
Okay, how about I sit back?
Just for a moment. I was trying to correct my wrongs.
I'm going
to
go ahead and just take off.
Jane Mansfield.
See you guys later. Tara, enjoy.
Was born on April 19th in 1933, and she passed away on June 29th, 1967, in a tragic car accident. And Mike, we may have done this a little bit early because the anniversary of that accident is not this Sunday, next Sunday. So we're a week early. Now you wanna read the back of something?
Well,
go ahead. You just sat back.
I was gonna just.
I got other things I could read.
I mean, you have a lot, and I want you. I'm very excited for the research you've done, and I'm excited to talk about the movie. I was just gonna set it up by reading the back of the movie.
Can we call that research too? Because that's the level of research I've done. Is just like reading, like Playboy articles about her.
You have done fantastic. Well, from producer Dick Randall, who is also the man responsible for Pieces. Mm-hmm. So that should tell you where we are at with this movie. Comes the notorious Mondo mashup, in which a Jane Mansfield sound-alike narrates footage of Jane being chased by paparazzi in Rome, wearing bikinis in Cannes, and partying with drag queens in Paris, before suddenly veering into graphic photos of her horrific accident and posthumous tour of her Hollywood mansion. That pretty much does sum up what this
really does sum it up, Mike.
Insane
it's
movie
fantastic.
Is. And it is truly one of those, it's a classic something weird style movie that has to be seen to be believed. It is, the atmosphere is perfect for summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it, when you're in tune with these types of movies and you're in the mood to watch something very strange, some very strange exploitation, maybe some tastelessness.
Yeah, some tasteless exploitation,
yes.
For sure.
This is your movie, and we do love it. And we love Jane Mansfield. I mean, we love the Jane Mansfield movies. Girl Can't Help It.
Spoil Rock Hunter is so good.
Promises, mm-hmm. which there's stills from and clips from in this movie. It's, when you get into Jane Mansfield's zone, it's a good zone. It's a good summer
zone.
Why
am I blanking at The Sheriff of Crooked Knots?
There's that one's good, too. We have that one. That's a great one.
It's a
Western.
It'll come to me.
Yeah.
It'll come to me.
But it's a great summer zone to be in, and especially just classic mid 1900s tragic Hollywood. It's all here.
Yeah. And it is the type of thing that you could throw on at a party, that you could play, you know, in the middle of something while
even
talking. It's more of an atmosphere than a story. Like,
oh,
in
definitely.
Terms of like discussing like plot and execution, like there's not a plot, really.
Oh, no. This is just totally just a travelogue of her walking around. And then the narration is so great. And and, you know.
Yeah, and I was reading. I was trying to figure out if, oh, here we go. I should have had this all pulled up beforehand. But it looks like her studios at one point, due to her popularity, did send her on tours around Europe. So I'm assuming that some of this, because the footage from different places look like they're years apart, right?
Well, and it is.
And there are varying levels of, like, her having hair and makeup, which is another thing I love about Jane. Like, she can be a hot mess, which is fantastic. Yeah. And so I assume that some of the early footage when she's in Rome and the ones in Cannes are when she was sent to her own debut of her film and when she was sent on a tour with her studio during the early days of her popularity. I just realized, I'm sorry, I have clankly bracelets on today. Well, should I take those off or should we just deal with it?
I mean, I think it's okay.
They're cute. Usually I try to take them off before we record.
I feel like Jane Mansfield would approve. But yes,
she would approve.
And this was filmed over the course of a few years, 1964 through 1967. Mm-hmm. So yes, you are correct in that assumption. And so the footage of her really walking around, I mean, yeah, it was really filmed of her walking around these cities, but then the narration and then there's these strange inserts that add to this, the total weird vibe of the whole thing.
And I did write down, like, the voiceover actress is not Jane Mansfield, clearly, because she was not alive at this time. So you do get these things that are being said over the, it's not stock footage, it's her footage and footage from some of her films, and they're presented as actually happening in reality. Like, it's all very strange and should not be taken as a biographical source of information.
Well,
however,
I would like to take it as, and I choose to take it as a biographical source of information.
But also looking at, you know, what even she wrote in the world of Wild Jane, however the words become inverted for the book, the phrasing is very similar to what she wanted to write. So I do think that these were lifted from there and in the manner of phrasing of something she would say, like, I wish for a handsome man to cuddle me and love me. Like that sort of thing, definitely Jane Mansfield would say. She would want to give kisses to all her friends. And like immediately, like, you know, we start out in the Olivare steps in Rome, a place for lovers, Roman lovers. And then all of a sudden, like, Jane Mansfield's talking about Rome and lovers and, like, romanticizing the place and talking about kisses. And I can only think of Stefania Stella.
You know it.
Just, like, everything that she says is just, like, I love you, all of my fans. I want to give you all kisses.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, like, just a different accent of Jane Mansfield.
And they go to Trevi Fountain.
And then she goes to the Fountain of Trevi.
It is so funny because, you know, like, I like this movie does also, like, I really do want to go back to Rome so bad.
I know, it makes you want to
go. Thinking about this. And then I really love when she's talking about the paparazzi.
Oh.
And then there's all the footage of the paparazzi. So that's the kind of stuff I'm assuming was inserted.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, I guess it was, she's in it. So somehow, again, I don't know exactly how all this stuff was thought was going to be used, mm-hmm.
So
it is so interesting. But yeah, there's all this footage of the paparazzi going, oh, and then the pinching of the butts.
Oh, like, my God. And it was so, she was like, the leering of the Italians. And she said that this is the Italian national pastime, pinching girls.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. And then, like, all the footage of the paparazzi running around and then the pinching of the girls. Like, it's so ridiculous.
And who will success spoil Rock Hunter, released in 1957? It looks like she was launched into a North American tour and a 40-day, 16-country tour of Europe. And she attended film premieres, met Queen Elizabeth, toured Rome. So I think some of the footage is from that tour.
It could be. I mean, that's still pretty early, because I think at this time is really when things were a little down on her career.
Well, I think the ones when we see her in Paris and her hair is clearly done. Like, okay, so, I mean, I don't feel any need to organize my thoughts because this is all over the place. Well, first of all, this is underground espionage, so we're just going to kind of, like, do a chaotic.
We're coming from the underground. We're the black sheep of the underground.
The black sheep of the underground, like a chaotic approach right here. Take a sip of my weird green juice.
I got my strawberry hibiscus sparkling water.
I have a, like, a gut health elderberry ginger shot, but then I put my green juice powder in it. It's got probiotics and spirulina. It's delicious.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call some Terra shit. Mm.
Yeah, I like to joke with Mike and ask him if he'd like a sip. I want to put lemon in there, too.
And I say no.
And he was like, no, I would not like a sip. No, thank you, no. But it is a fun thing to put on the table right before I bring the just telescopic
arm. Just to give me a nice panic attack, you're going to knock it over.
Of the microphone. Yeah, yeah. And then the whole time he's just like, and it gives Mike a nice panic attack because this would be a horrid thing to spill. Horrid. Be quite horrid to spill. Okay.
So some thoughts.
So where
are you gonna go? Where are you gonna go? Your all over thoughts. Where are you going next, Tara? Hit it.
I kind of want to talk about the idea of Jane Mansfield, the aesthetics of Jane Mansfield. I mean, we can go into her biography after. I think just the overview is especially seeing it in this film, you see somebody who was at peak, hugely popular. Famously, the Beatles wanted to see Jane Mansfield was the star they wanted to meet in America first. They didn't care about Marilyn Monroe. It was Jane Mansfield that they wanted to see. She's so big. She was referred to by one director as a living cartoon. And I agree with that. And I think that's the appeal. And again, aesthetically, my icons as a youth would be Miss Piggy or Dolly Parton, Jane Mansfield,
Elvira,
Kelly Bundy, all of just, they're so exponential. And Jane Mansfield is so blonde, and the way that she did blonde was so well done in some ways, but also you see it here, on her decline when she's doing her own hair, she just takes Mike, those are hair toppers. So back in the day, you would kind of pin all your hair up into a bun and you'd put a topper on it, or you put a fall on top of your actual hair. So the front of your hair would be your bangs, the front of your hair. Then you clip it in here, you put a little bow right in the middle of your head, put a headband on, and the back of your hair is all fake, right? So you would let that set overnight. You would wrap it in toilet paper to keep the hairs from flying away. These are all things that we do. But Jane Mansfield's look like she put it in with one bobby pin and it's wobbling all around on top of her head. She looks like she didn't wrap her hair in her sleep. She had her hair set and then she slept on it a lot and it got real fuzzy. You know what I mean? She's got it together some of the time. She doesn't the other time, but I think that's also kind of part of the appeal.
I agree.
For the time, her eyeliner is kind of too thick. You know what I mean? Oh man, she went a little hard on that, where she kind of comes off as my kind of gal.
Yeah.
And then the other thing about her, Mike, is that her rib cage is wild. She's all ribs, man. Her measurements famously were reported. She's the bombshell. She's 41, 21, 35.
So can you break that down for us, Tara? It
means her bust is 41 inches.
I mean, her tits are
her waist
magnificent.
Is 21 inches and her hips are 35 inches.
Yeah. I'm definitely a big fan of her tits.
Yeah.
And
I'm a 36, 24, 37, if that puts you into perspective for how big around she is, Mike.
There is a scene where she goes to I can't remember if I think it's even one of those where she's actually not in it, it's just the narrator, but they go to a breast contest.
Oh my god, the bust off.
The bust off. Busting contest.
Busting off.
And honestly, she should have just entered and won. And she had hers are way better than everyone.
She shows
in there.
Her bust. Why is he? But do you think she ever went to the bust off, or they just showed random pictures of her in an audience somewhere and was never actually?
There's
in
a
the
lot
audience.
Of that, which I love. Mm-hmm. I love that strange style of it where it's like, okay, clearly she's not this strange concoction, a collage of images. Making you feel like she's there, but is she really there? Most likely not. I also like the washed out color of the whole thing. It's obviously
yes.
very low budget.
Poorly restored.
Color, yeah, and there's probably no way you can mm-hmm. really ever get it to look bright. It just has that great washed out 60s color to it.
Yeah. So we have the washed out element. We have her at different timelines in her life of varying levels of success. And truly, saying that she lived for love, she did get constantly married. She got married to her first, to Mr. Mansfield, let's call him, when she was 17 years old. So that was her first husband. And then the Hargitay. And then I'm not.
There's someone in between, right? Because Hargitay is her her final husband.
Let me. No, he's not. That is incorrect.
Really?
Okay, hold on. I'm bringing up the info, so I'm just not talking out of my ass.
I don't know why I interrupted you, because you
interrupt away. You know what? I could deal with a little of my own medicine. So we have Paul Mansfield from 1950 to 58. And that was her first husband. He was in some branch of the military, and then he came back. He did not want her to pursue her film star career. He wasn't really into her even, like... She went to college, but he wasn't into that either. That's when she had her first child. So 1950 to 58, then Mickey Hargitay from 58 to 64, then Matt Simber from 64 to 65. And she was in the process of divorcing him when she passed away.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't realize that. Yes. Thought Hargitay was the end. So all that stuff, all the footage in this movie with him was obviously from 64. They were still married.
It was when they were still together and varying points of their life, because they did films together. They had shows. She actually made a ton of money doing floor shows, much like the one she attends in this film, where he twirls her around on his hands and lifts her up. She had to have a special insurance policy, and she was insured for $1 million because Mickey was flinging her about so much with his strong, strong arms that she adored.
Well, I guess I didn't realize that.
But, I mean, part of what kind of scuttled her career wasn't... I mean, yes, the appeal and demand for blonde bombshells waxes and wanes during time, and people get over. But, you know, like, people are over, and then the cycle comes back, and they get up again. Like, it happens. But mainly the studios were frustrated and didn't want to invest in her because she was pregnant all the time. They were really annoyed.
Yeah, she did it. She had, four or five kids?
She had five children. Yeah. So if you think about that, so she had Paul Mansfield, a baby with him in the 50s. And then when she's with Mickey Hargitay from 58 to 64, she had four children. And that was her big studio time. So, you know, if she's at the peak of her popularity and they can't do anything with her because she's pregnant, like, there weren't things in place like safeguarding her career. They were just like over it. They're like, this woman's pregnant.
They're
all
like,
the time.
Yeah,
she is just... incessantly pregnant. Yeah, we are done. They sent her to Europe to do like one-off and like lower grade films because they just...
I really want to see the Loves of Hercules that they clip in this.
I really
want
to see that.
With Hargitay and her, I do want to see that.
Yeah, so the main films, it's Promises, The Loves of Hercules, and what was the other one?
Oh, the other one that's in the
Primitive
movie?
Primitive Love.
That's like the Italian movie.
So
yeah,
good.
That looks great.
Yeah, and that's when they sent her after, like, they were like, we're sick of her being pregnant. They had sent her over to Europe to do a lot of films there, and lower grade films due to that fact, which, I mean, again, like, thinking about her stance on love, and she's just like, oh, I just love children, and I want a big, strong man to be on top of me and have his babies.
That's right. That's right. But, I mean, she really did love having kids, and that was a real thing. And then famously, another thing that's always said about her is because she comes off as this airheaded blonde, that in fact she did have a very high IQ and was actually very intelligent. I mean, that's what's said about her all the time.
Yeah, and that's that. Now, in this film, they drop 164 IQ. And, you know, I was like, maybe I'm remembering this incorrectly, but 164 seems a wee bit high for somebody who received high B's throughout high school college.
Yeah.
I mean, like, above average is 116 to 144 is well above average. You're considered gifted above, like, 130.
I would bet she was more in the...
Like, generally, like, a one, like, basically anything above... Like 145 is highly gifted, exceptionally gifted in the 160s. Like, this seems a bit high.
But again,
I'm just saying it's a bit high.
You know
like,
what?
Yes.
Again, I'm going with this movie as factual documentation, so I'm going with
Tara. I want her to be exponential too. So I can say that she's gifted. And they always say she like spoke like six languages, but I think that she took German. Oh, I had it. German, Spanish, English, and something else. So there's evidence of those four. So,
yeah.
And then she was trained on instruments, and she's rumored to have played on many tracks, but there's no verification that she actually did.
Hey.
But you know what? I like the mythos of it.
I'm going with it.
And yeah, 41 for her bust. Like, I could see it being even more because she really has this, that like expansive rib cage.
Terry, I also just did want to interject here. You know, I said I really like Jane Mansfield's tits. I love your tits. So don't.
Thank you
I just
so
don't
much.
Want you to
like,
think.
I was
to,
getting
I
jealous.
I felt
I
bad
like,
that I
know.
I didn't compliment
I'm
yours.
So, You know, I don't require that.
Okay.
I don't require that. And well, I don't think Jane, I think Jane appreciates it.
You know what, Tara?
You know
They're
what?
They're fantastic.
Thank you so much.
You got it.
Thank you so much. That's... Well, now we can go on more about the film. Let's see.
I love the Rome part, though. I'm really in an Italian zone. I've been really, as Tara can attest, I've been like wanting like Italian food. I've just been in a zone.
Did you? What about when they go to that famous street in Italy where the ladies of the night are working?
I would like to go to that street.
So it's like the. But like the same street from like Arabella Black Angel. Angel. Is it Strange Vice, Mrs.
That's Ford? The thing is we couldn't remember. There's another gel that we watched relatively recently where they go to one of the streets. But it is like a real thing, or at least it was back then, where it's like kind of a country road.
Yeah.
And these women are just hanging out. And that's
and she
like
says,
what they're doing.
And she says, too bad that this road. Oh, hold on. Too bad that on this road, love had to be made a sordid thing.
Yeah.
Because she was really upset that...
She's like, it should just be...
Because they were haggling over the price, and the price turned out to be $3. And she was like, well, that's the price that the woman was like, heck no. And she goes, I wouldn't work that cheap for anything.
Yeah.
I mean, $3. Like, give me a break. I mean, and that lady had a right to be like, fuck you.
Yeah.
So, yes, then she got to pose on the Marquis de Sade fountain.
That was in France, but is that where they go to is the nude, nudist, is that in France or in Italy?
Yeah, so.
I can't remember.
In France, and I just want to point out, too, that she is always carrying Choo-Choo, her chihuahua, one of her chihuahuas. It's always the same chihuahua, I feel like, in this. When she passed away, there were 4 chihuahuas in the car. 2 of them immediately died, along with the 3 adult passengers in the front seat, but always has a little choo-choo, and he just seems like a really well-behaved chihuahua.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you know always carrying around, always a good little guy.
Yeah, on the Isle of Levant, so that's a French.
That was that's
French
when she's in France.
Nudist area. But
yeah,
so after we leave Rome, we get to go to the Park of the Gladiators that was made for the 1960 Olympics, and then that she shows all the statues, and she's shaking, rattling the fence, trying to get in, wants to get at the gladiators. But, they're just so hot, and then one of them comes to life.
That part is so great, when she's like getting all hot and bothered for the statues.
She's like, has anybody ever willed one alive?
Yeah, I love that part.
Me.
Yeah.
It's so good. And then when they have like Mickey Hargitay come to life, it's his leopard print drawers are fantastic. Oh, no, and doesn't she judge them? No, they all come to life. And then she has to choose her gladiator at one point. And she's just like squeezing their bronzed muscles. And then she gets... carted away.
It's so
by
great.
Mickey
I love
Hargitay.
It. But yeah,
so
I love that. I love that whole section. And then that's when they're showing the clips of the, I assume, is the Love of Hercules movie.
Yes, from the Love
of
Hercules.
I really want to see.
She looks great with black hair. Now, her natural hair color is not blonde, it is black, but she was not standing out in the studios. So she had like auditioned initially, like playing piano, and they filmed her and doing other like elegant talents, but she really shone when she became blonde and then put on like the dumb affectation. Everybody's the world's smartest dumb blonde.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Just so charming.
Yeah, I love the Marquis de Sade fountain.
Yeah, she poses in the Marquis de Sade.
Like
she likes to get into all the fountains. Yeah. She likes to get moist, carrying the dog. The dog's on the side, just kind of shaking, always wearing the black eyeliner, always wearing the pale pink lipstick. It's perfect. Then she goes out in France, out to the boardwalk, and it's Robertson
and
the Airedales.
Yeah, that's great. Doing the
that's fantastic.
Bird is the word, and she's doing the dance to it. Love
twist,
it. Yeah, the scene's great.
Love that scene. Yeah. I love the I was trying to find out if that is from one of her films because there's no way.
I think it's for this.
Oh, it's just for this because I'm like, there's no way that they're actually playing that music. Like the
well, they
are plugged in, but the
no.
He's not
sorry
singing the words.
Yeah,
he's not singing. He just stops at one point. He does the whole like I'm not.
Again, it is hard to tell. So you're right. It could totally be for. It seemed like there were points where I felt like, okay, this is being filmed like basically for what this documentary was supposed to be or whatever you want to call it. And then there's clearly the inserts. But there are, like you said, there are these moments of like, I'm not 100% sure if that's the insert or if that's, you know, the.
But also, like, it's filmed for something, but it couldn't be this film.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know what you mean. Like, it's like,
is it her press reel? And they're just doing like cute things that she does around, or is it in an actual film? Like, I assume if they were gonna have the band play, then maybe it's from an actual. I mean, it's so. But again, talking about dreamlike things, like this
has it.
This does have kind of a like a sleepwalking. Definitely. Like, you just kind of have to sleepwalk and go with whatever they're telling, because it's not. The story is basically like. Jane Mansfield walks around and thinks about love, and then thinks about hot guys and thinks about their muscles and just gets all worked up, and then all of a sudden we get a recreation. Well, we'll get.
I mean,
to
is
that
kind
Let's
of like what
time.
You though? You know, you walk around, you're thinking about.
Mm, yeah, I'm just
me,
like
your husband
getting horny for statues. I look at a picture of a guy and I'm like, oh.
But like you mean more specifically your husband?
Oh,
right?
More specific? Yes, 100%. Okay. My husband.
Just being clear,
That is 100% what I do. And I so like just some of the things that they say, like okay, so she goes to a wonderful. Well, she goes to the nudist colony on Isle of Leven, and I took off my top, but I just couldn't take off my bottoms. It's all right for a movie, but not in real life. But that's actually a scene from a movie. Like,
oh, so that one is a scene?
Yeah.
Is that probably from the
I think that's from Promises.
Primitive Love?
Maybe from Primitive Love. It's from one
it's
of them.
It's not from Promises. The Promises is Promises.
Yeah, you're right. It's black
and
white.
Crucian.
Yeah, we've seen that. I think it's from Primitive Love then. So that's actual footage from the movie. So that's why she didn't take her bottoms off. But again, they make it all work, and that's why this whole thing is so confusing as to where they got it, what it's from. And they keep showing, like, Playboy star, but they don't show her actual Playboy centerfold. Like, because she did do early Playboy and was, like, a
it's
centerfold.
The stills from the Promises,
it's just
Promises,
the still, it's
right?
The Playboy with stills from Promises, Promises that they keep flipping through. So, again, like, somehow they're able to use that. Like, maybe they had, like, Promises, Promises had a lapse in its film rights, so they were able to do that. But Playboy had the rights for the other film. Like,
it's hard
it's
to say
because so
you don't think, you sort of don't feel that there was really much attention paid to rights.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like,
Dick
or
Randall
they're just like.
Really thinking.
Yeah. But also, like, he had to think about it in some context because he thought about it enough not to have the other Playboy on there and not to use, like, the other films.
You know,
he had to have a strategy to it.
We noted that Dick Randall was responsible for Pieces, but also responsible for Don't Open Until Christmas. So he is just truly
fantastic. Don't you just want to scream, Bastard!
Bastard!
It's just like, I love that. Just plays in my head every time. Like, don't you love it?
I could go for a rewatch of Pieces this summer.
Well, you know what? The pieces of that puzzle keep falling out of the box and landing on our floor, and I keep putting them back in. But I think that means
we need
to watch Pieces, because Pieces has been trying to get out of the box and tell us that we should watch it right now. So I agree. We're going to watch Peaches. Oh, it's so fun. So yes, then after they have a lot of foot content on the Isle of Leven, a little toe content, we get some sex jokes, and then we go over to Paris, and Jane's hair is a mess.
It is a mess.
We see lots of Paris shots, and in some of them, you can tell they go back in time, and she's had a really gorgeous professional updo that looks like... you know, I'll just like Barbra Streisand's hairdresser did it, and it's big and it's beautiful. And then others, it's just an absolute bird's nest mess. It's fantastic. But then she goes in to see Fernand Aubry, because sometimes we feel grubby and heavy in the hips. You just need to go in and feel beautiful again.
Feel heavy in the hips.
Feeling heavy in the hips.
No one wants to be untidy.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
I feel grubby and heavy in the hips sometimes. I feel you, Jane.
I feel like I've heard you say that.
I know.
Like,
I feel heavy in the hips. Oh my God. And I love when they keep alluding, like they never say boobs or tits or even like they always
bust.
Say bust.
I like bust.
I like the bust too.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, I do say tits is sort of my go-to, but I do like bust. Maybe I should be a little less crass.
Say tits too because I don't. Yeah, there's something like you hear breasts and you're just.
I don't like it.
I
said
like
it earlier and I didn't like
it. I don't
it.
Like
I felt
it
bad
either.
When I said
it's
it.
It's like penis.
Oh, don't say
just,
it.
I don't
see,
like
terrible.
It. I prefer dick
to me,
cock.
Cock. It's cock and tits.
Yeah,
but I like bust. I like bust.
Yeah. I mean, there's other words that work. You have to be in the moment. You know, there's a right context. Like, you can do a lot of fun words, but definitely not those other words. I don't even want to say them anymore. I don't want to put that energy out there. But nobody wants to be untidy. And
Or heavy in the hips. What you got there, Tara? You got
I got a hair.
Oh yeah, Tara's got a little distracted.
It was
there
itchy.
You go.
I've got. You know, it's hard.
Yeah.
I guess it's easy to get.
You look
distracted.
Great, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah. I put my makeup on early today, so there we go. Full glam right now. Now, a great observation that the voice of Jane Mansfield makes is Jane Mansfield. The Eiffel Tower. I hope they never tear it down and put up a parking lot.
And they have not, thank
God.
Oh,
my God, thank God. I mean, she's right. I hope they never tear down the Eiffel Tower and put up a parking lot. What do you think about that, Mike?
Yeah, and actually, we were having a discussion with someone about this last night, and something I had watched recently where I'm really fascinated and want to know more about the Garden of Allah. Did I say that right? That was a place with bungalows and a pool in early Los Angeles off the Sunset Strip.
Oh.
But that was one of the first things that was torn down and made into a strip mall parking lot. Yeah.
So rude. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think we're at that phase where the malls are going to start getting torn down and they have to be made into something. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain places. Now, this also prompts her wonderful quote that says there are nicer things to do than spank a girl. So we get a lot of sexual romping around. We have a guy, a Parisian man, chasing his Parisian wife on a boat. Again, this is all, like, very, like, campy.
Yeah, this has the campy
60s style. Like
horny French.
Horny jokes. Yeah. But what you don't see coming is that we get a different... We get horniness not just between the boys and the girls, but some horniness between the girls and the girls. And horniness between the boys and the boys.
Yeah.
And horniness between the whatever may come.
Everything in the kitchen sink. You know
everything
what I mean?
Everything in the kitchen sink. So she goes at... takes a forbidden stairwell in the Eiffel Tower and ends up.
She goes, she says something like, I just figured, you know, why not live a little? Because it says like forbidden way out.
Yeah, forbidden way out.
Or something like that, right? Yeah.
Interdite. And so she ends up in an underground gay bar in Paris. And she gets so confused. And so that is always a really like fun scene where she's like, oh, this boy and girl are having a good time dancing. That's not a girl. That's a boy and a boy. Well, everything goes in Paris. Love is love. And then, like, it's, like, an amazing scene. And just, honestly, the footage of the bar in at that time, like, is fantastic,
oh,
too.
Yeah, man, yeah. Again, so much of this stuff, you just wish you could go just into those places because they look so great.
Yes, and then we go into... Montmartre, where artists in Paris are leaving very bohemian lives. Up in Montmartre. And then that's where she goes to the bust out. And then we get to see a bunch of tits.
Which, she really should have entered.
And she should have entered the bust out. And it's just all busts all the time. And then she goes to Le Sexy, the club. And, these Parisian nightclubs. Okay, so whereas before we got a dose of Stefania Stella, now at Le Sexy we get... a good dose of like what goddess would have been,
yes,
in
the showgirls goddess.
Showgirls goddess, yes, because absolutely. We get these Parisian nightclub acts, and it's and as Fake Jane says, marijuana, LSD, boys and girls are all for sale at these seedy nightclubs of Paris. But really, when we get to the Crazy Horse and we get to see the Adam and Eve dance where everybody's wearing these like scratchy jeweled G-strings, like it's 100% straight out of Goddess. Like there is that kind of like Adam and Eve dance where
it really
it's just
does
like muscle
look
man,
like, Goddess. Yeah.
Like picking up like lanky brunette that's full of muscles and just like twirling her around. And then she's like in a scratchy G-string and her delicate breasts are cupped by rhinestones and held up confusingly and beautifully, like all of these things are happening. It's fantastic, but it's so much like Goddess. So what a joy. I hope that was an inspo for Goddess, but that's when we're leaving Paris and we go back to the States to a beauty contest for boys.
Sure do, in New York City.
Who will be queen of the day? It's the International Transvestite Contest winners. And it was interesting to hear her talk about how, like, it was really hard to get invited, and it was illegal at the time, and it was like an underground pageant. Like, I wonder if that's true. I wonder if it was really hard to get invited, and if they tried to chase them down.
But this is definitely
shoot them down.
You know, this is definitely Walk on the Wild Side.
Yes,
you know, era. Right.
I want to walk on the wild side to start playing so bad.
Totally. Yeah.
I love that album. I love Transformer. I don't know why.
Great record.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Anyway, so we have that wonderful scene. And again, just to bring it back to Barbra Streisand and whoever her hairdresser was in Funny Girl and Funny Lady, like, these are the caliber of updos that we're dealing with there. I mean, highly structured, giant, heavy, 2-foot-wide updos with jewels. I love it. This is my kind of glamour. And then we go to the Chinese Theater in Hollywood,
which we were just there,
yes,
and which also made me want to rewatch Fade to Black. I would like
God,
to.
God, I
want to
watch Fade to Black. Seeing that stairwell next to the Chinese Theater,
yeah. But you know, I always get excited about this era of Hollywood, especially in the '60s. Thinking mm-hmm. about it, and
this when she goes on the marquee, it's Valley of the Dolls,
which also we've been talking about it, and that might be an episode pretty
soon.
What
did we watch instead? We watched Lady Street Fighter.
We watched Lady Street Fighter, we did watch Lady Street Fighter recently.
Yes.
But no, we watched.
Guess what? It's still great.
We watched The Man Who Knew Too Much.
Oh, okay. That's right.
We wanted to watch something old, and we were wanted to go black and white, but Valley of the Dolls almost piqued our interest. But Valley of the Dolls, I think an episode on Valley of the Dolls is imminent.
And then Beyond the Valley, we can do both.
Yeah, but I think that's pretty imminent. So
Dolls.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah, I mean, sometimes when you need to escape from the world and you just feel like I think like going just like The Man Who Knew Too Much was great. I just want to go fully back in time, back into black and white, back into
as far back as possible.
Yeah, and it's a joy. So then we get just a weird sequence, like after the Chinese Theater shots. All of a sudden, it becomes this, like, campy, like fake news about how everybody's job in Hollywood is topless. Like, we get, like...
Oh, this part's great.
Remember, it's so strange.
This,
like,
part's awesome.
They
act
like
everyone... Yeah.
And I think that,
the mechanics...
This is great. I was assuming, like, this is playing on, like, 42nd Street or something. Like, those type of
definitely.
Theaters.
Definitely, yeah.
And so...
Grindhouses, midnight movies.
In my mind, they need to hold everyone's interest. So they have Jane Mansfield. They need to show as many tits as possible, right? So they've run out of the tits. So they need more tits. And so they just pretend that every job in Los Angeles is done by a woman topless. So they have an ice cream truck that's topless. They have somebody shining shoes that's topless. And they're like, oh, the line here goes all the way down the blocks. Who would want their shoes shined to this? And it's like a guy watching her boobs jiggle while she like shines his shoes. And then there's a window washer who's like cleaning the window. There's a mechanic. There's a barber. He's like, we had a fourth generation barber coming in prior to that. But now... he's out to the curb. She doesn't cut his hair as well, but it's better to watch her do it. Like, and it's such a strange, like, newsreel of, like, and you also, like, wonder, did he lift it from something else? Was this another thing
was
that was just
for it?
Stolen?
Right. Yeah, who knows?
You know, because this has nothing to do with, like, Jane Mansfield's footage in any way. So where was this jacked from? You know what I mean? Like, was it, like, an early, like campy porno or like or something another film
nudie
that played
cutie. That's,
it was probably a nudie I bet it was a nudie cutie and then they just threw it in.
But I love when she goes to see the band.
So then we get, so this again reminds us of Valley of the Dolls.
Well, Beyond the Valley of Dolls.
Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. Because we go into the Blue Bunny and the Lady Birds are playing. The Lady Birds are a fantastic band and very much like, why did it just fly out of my head? I know the name of the band Beyond. Anyway, just much like this style of rock, and they're all wearing glittery jumpsuits, tits out.
And they would have all won the contest as well. They all had great busts, Tara.
Busts up, tits out.
Absolutely, and watch for the shoe. And
in America, a girl with a beautiful bust line can make her fortune.
And the song was great, but Yeah, this I loved this section too, where she goes to that. I think that's the part.
Well, I mean, this section is your little last dose of fun, right? Because she's going to like fun strip clubs and go-go bars. Oh, and then the go-go dancer at the Blue Bunny had like weird birthmarks.
Oh no, I wanted to say the Blue Bunny logo and symbol looked amazing.
So good.
Yeah, really awesome. Yeah,
gonna have to look it up. But. And then it says something like, it really is a wild, wild world.
And then it kind of goes to a still of her naked.
Yeah.
And you think the movie is going to be over. Except now we go to the tragic death of Jane Mansfield.
And it's like a POV car crash, like sliding around. And then just the actual pictures of the crash, like gory ass pictures, like head with like a stump. And, like, the dead dog laying there, like, the one that we could see. It's awful. And it's just like, I mean, you know, we've seen him before.
Sure, but it just
it is we've such seen the car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is just such a jarring switch for the end of the movie.
Yeah, it's just so jarring. You're just being titillated, and there's go-go dancers, and we're watching the ladybirds, and then all of a sudden it's just like, gore, gore, gore. And it's wild. And again, like, I did not know that they call the bar they have now put under semis the Mansfield Bars in some places.
I didn't know that.
So they had her first, everybody but Mickey Hargitay sued the trucking company, the driver. Like they basically tried to sue everybody they could over like wrongful death. And they lost. And they said that the truck driver was not negligent. He was slowing down because of a mosquito spraying vehicle that was there. So he went from like 50 to 35, but they were going 60 to 80 miles an hour. And so when they hit the back of the semi, since the bumper was so high, the whole front of the car went under that semi, right? So if you think about how high a semi trailer is, then it slid under. And that's why everybody said she was decapitated. Because even in the photos, you see the blonde hair in the car and her body somewhere else. But truly, like, she wore those falls. So they think maybe she had her hair on her lap. Or had it sitting on the dashboard, and that's why everybody thinks that she was decapitated, because they see the hair that had come off and scalped her.
Yes, that is true.
But after that, when new safety measures were put into semis, they installed a lower bumper that would prevent a small car from sliding under a tractor trailer. So if you're in a fender bender, like it'll hit like a regular impact instead of sliding under and causing more damage. Hmm. And they call it the Mansfield Bar.
I did not realize that was
named. I don't know if they're still called that, but for quite a while they were. That is how they were referred to.
I do love, though, that we get all the footage of the Pink Palace, which was where Jane and Mickey Hargitay lived. And how great is that, Tara?
Yeah,
and
so
how,
then we go
how
from this...
great would we do living there?
I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, I would preserve the Pink Palace. Like the thought of like people renovating the Pink Palace, it's just, it's heartbreaking. Like you don't want the heart pool. You don't want the I Love You Jane in the pool. You don't want heart shaped bathtubs. Like she even said, like when the fountain was installed, that she consulted engineers to see if they could make the water droplets that came out of it into heart shapes, because she loves love, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I do love this footage, but it is...
But it is so sad after you see the death photos, and then they're like, her 17-room pink palace built on love.
And then you have Mickey Hargitay and then the kids walking around. So yeah, this is what we love. We love the underground putting together these strange... We love exploitation.
Jarring, yeah.
And this tastelessness is something that we'll always love. And this movie in so many ways highlights that in this distilled 90 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's so tasteless. Like, they have Mickey with the kids in front of a stone that says, I love you, Mommy. So that's like, you're just like, Jesus, guys, like,
he's playing the piano.
Yeah.
And just walking around the house, like, forlornly.
Yeah, no, it's so sad. Like the empty house.
That's actually what made me think. I'm like, oh, that I didn't. I guess for whatever reason, I didn't clock that they had been divorced for a few years.
Yeah, they'd been divorced, but they were still on good terms. He was the only one of her husbands who showed up at her funeral. I think, you know, I think that her career was complicated. Her life had become complicated. Has anybody that I'm trying to talk to right now, seeing like the devil and Jane Mansfield and seeing all those like darker days of her life. And,
yeah, of course. Yeah. And I mean, you know, obviously one of the great things about Jane Mansfield is the Anton LaVey connection.
Yes.
Something, those pictures are so incredible. And, you know, we love that.
She had her like pink pentagram. And,
exactly.
Like, yeah.
And it's like that era of Satanism is something that we love, you know, like the, not the modern, but we love the old. And in even that era of LaVey, like what that sort of got morphed into, especially in modern times, is not something that is at all interesting to me. But
the more like humanistic, inclusive Satanism, I like the individualistic dark Satanism.
Dark, actually like, you know, bad side of things. Yeah. And I think that's the era. But then when you mix them on the Jane Mansfield
media spin
in it,
on it,
is what we love so much about the darkness of Hollywood, this place that we live, and that's something that what draws us and what we love about here, why we always say it's not for everyone but it's for us, is this mixing of all that, and then the also the exploitation, and then the also the thin veil of reality, and what does that even mean? And I think the Jane Mansfield Anton LaVey connection is something that highlights that, and it highlights something about this place and the atmosphere of this place that we love.
The
and then,
extreme
and then you mix
highs,
in the
extreme lows.
And then you mix in the Pink Palace. And then you mix in, again, just the tragic story for her rise and fall.
Her lover manager that she was with in the car. And so, like, there he couldn't drive. And so they had a driver from the club taking them somewhere else. So the three adults in the front seat and the kids in the back, car full of four chihuahuas, three kids, three adults. What a ride. What a tragic time. Like, just the entire thing. And having Jane Mansfield being, like, the biggest star at one point and then wanting to have children and have this other life and then having that be part of her falling down into something that's more cut rate, you know, resorting to more exploitation, nudity, that sort of thing, having money managers taking advantage of her, turning to Satanism, like turning to like whoever would, you know, take her seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And her story just is something that encompasses our fascination with this era of Hollywood and this time, and, you know, something that we love to bring into as much of the atmosphere we can bring into in our own work and in our own life now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to, let me see here. Jane Mansfield films. I'm so sorry. Well, maybe I wasn't quite ready. Well,
I would say to me, Girl Can't, if you haven't seen any Jane Mansfield films, I would say Girl Can't Help It would be.
And will success spoil Rock Hunter is so good.
I would say both. Like, and I would say Promises, really Promises. I would say those three would be great ones to go for. The, you know, maybe we'll do episodes on those at some point. I think it would be a lot of fun. But I would say those would be really great ones to check out if you haven't watched any Jane Mansfield movies.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fantastic place to go. But they're really
I would say, if honestly, if you're listening to this and you know
the
this
wild
is
wild
more
world
case,
of Jane Mansfield,
that's
really
say
a great
the wild,
place
wild
to go.
World of Jane
it's
Mansfield
a, it's quite a ride.
Where to start? And you know, it's just one of the great something weird era movies, one of the great strange tasteless exploitation movies, and something that again. It's one you can put on, watch it, or put it on mute and just have people over. It's just one of those great.
It's one
you
of
just
those.
Have
yeah.
it going, you know.
And truly, like her films, she's so vivacious. She's so charming. She's captivating. Like, and all the films, like I think, like I had always like The Girl Can't Help It. Like I grew up with. It was one of my favorites as a kid. And like I think that it's surprising when you see Jane Mansfield in action, like how charming, put together, like captivating she truly is on screen.
I absolutely agree, Tara.
Even in the wild, especially in the wild, wild world of Jane Mansfield.
Especially in it. And I think it's
such
a great,
joy.
Great summer watch and a great era to go explore and get into. Fantastic. It was a lot of fun talking about Jane Mansfield, talking about this great movie, Tara. I don't know. Like I said, I think.
Oh, yeah. And keep in mind, too, this woman is jumping into a bikini, like, she, oh, and this is another thing, like the Jane Mansfield thing, like, you know, the beware of 33. She died when she was 34. I know. She just like nearly, Jane Mansfield is like always like a little on her own. You know what I mean? But
oh, she, yeah, definitely.
But
yeah.
Like, think about when she's jumping into these bikinis and stuff. This is a woman who has birthed 5 children. Like, and even at the end when she's doing Promises, Promises, like her stomach is so weird and folds over. Like, she's thin, but she's, it's a woman who has birthed 5 children. Like, we must keep this in mind.
Looks great to
me.
She's
fantastic.
I'm fully on board. Well, great summer movie. Like I said, I'm definitely excited to do Valley of the Dolls. I don't know if that'll be next week, but it might be next week. I don't know. We'll, yeah. You know, I apologize if looking at our posts, we've been bad saying what we're going to do to prepare just because we've been just whatever reasons. We've just been, we will try to keep up on letting you guys know what we're doing in the next episode. But sometimes it just happens
when
the day
mood
before.
Hits you.
But I would do maybe Valley of the Dolls. Maybe that'll be mm-hmm. next week. If not, it'll be in the next couple weeks. I think it's a good summer. I think I really want to curate some good summer watches. So I think that would be a good one. Of course, hey, still go back and watch Summer Camp Girls, Last Slumber Party. I think we're doing good. I think
it's
we're
killing
good
me. I'm gonna
summer
have some
curation.
Big summer hair. I'm gonna have some big summer hair now. This
good
is really cementing it.
Curation. Well, Tara, it's a lot of fun talking to you. Underground Espionage listeners, it's always fun talking to you. Thank you so much for the support, all the notes, all the writing, all the suggestions. We love it, and we will be here week in.
Oh,
and week
thank
out.
You for liking and reviewing on the thing that
yeah,
happens
on the iTunes.
On. That
it
was neat.
Again. It just
that
it
was
just,
nice
on the iTunes. It does help. Again, we really appreciate it. It just does help when we're reaching out for interviews. Yeah. We have some cool ones that we're working on right now. It just helps a lot. You know, I know our people aren't, you know, I get it. It wouldn't necessarily be my first thing that I would do, but it just does help a lot. You know what I mean?
We want to be legit.
I mean, you know, just when we're reaching out to people, you know, I think
exactly.
it just does help,
it does
for,
help
to
yeah.
secure interviews, which we are securing some cool ones right now. So thank you so much. We will talk to you next week.